we are a multicultural environmental gathering hosted by Latinos to basically leverage Latino leadership across all sectors outside the environmental movement and including the environmental movement, leveraging that leadership for conservation gains, which is something that had not been done, that needed to be done, and that it's proven to be one of the missing links in taking the conservation movement to the next stage.
What link do you say has been missing?
The link of incorporating more diverse communities into the conservation movement, which has been so traditionally, you know, monocultural. And so what we, you know, when we were born out of this need to show, to shatter stereotypes of Latinos and communities of colors as it comes to the environment. The perceptions out there were that we were not engaged because of either lack of interest or because this was not a priority or a core value. However, you know, studies show, you know, time after time that these communities have been not only engaged, but at the forefront, but in alternate sectors outside the traditional movement. They've been working in toxic communities, in immigration issues. They've been working in health, education, with environmental agendas, but within those other sectors. So the festival tried to congregate this leadership to show that there has been a movement for a long, long time.
I know that there has been such interaction and crossover with, say, social justice movements. Yes. in Latin America and indeed here, economic justice. If we look, say, at the intersection between those movements and environment, maybe the dams that are being built in South America, where they're destroying entire communities, particularly indigenous communities. I mean, what are some of the other examples where we're seeing that kind of cross-movement collaboration in Latin America?
Yes, well, you know, it's economics 101. We are where we're at today. We have exhausted our natural resources. We have reached our limits, you know. This is not a problem of one community or, you know, it's a problem of all communities. And so we've reached this place of limits, and we're looking deeper into how to solve the problems. You know, when you reach limits, you are forced to dig deep. And as we dig deep, we realize that most of these communities of color, and in Latin America, indigenous communities, those most vulnerable communities and children, the elderly, and urban, you know, poor, the urban poor of our big Latin American cities and United States cities, they have been suffering disproportionately from the effects of pollution and the effects of businesses gone wild with no regulation. So we are forced to see, you know, before we could afford to look the other way, well, we can't anymore, because if we're to find those solutions to take us to a place of sustainability and actually survival, we're going to have to look at environmental justice and social justice.
When those are the people who are most directly impacted, disproportionately impacted, and yet they're the ones who aren't sitting at the table when it comes to solutions. I mean, why do we have that disconnect? Because you talked
earlier.
That is a very white, you know, monolithic group really that's involved in environmental stewardship, maybe at a certain leadership level.
So instance. What you're talking about is an apartheid system. That's where we're at when it comes to these decisions. 40% of the country is brown. It's been already for a decade almost, but only 8 to 11%, there's different studies that point to those numbers, are sitting at the tables, are making the decisions. And this all comes from this incredible report that came out 18 months ago by Dr. Dorchetta Taylor out of University of Michigan. And she really, you know, found out that the big NGOs, the big foundations, the big State Department and federal agencies that oversee the environmental space, like USDA and, you know, Fish and Wildlife and the Forest Service, these agencies are very, very, very not representative of the demographics of the country. So when that happens, you just, you know, you don't have the interests of these communities at the table. And so what you get is what you see right now.
Also, in addition to the people in decision making or regulation making capacities and a leadership at a government role or one of those agencies, but in terms of the environmental organizations themselves, the advocacy groups, the nonprofits, I mean, that's also not been terribly diverse in it. Or am I wrong in that when we look at the big environmental advocacy groups?
That's a big subject of the Green 2.0 report, which is even more alarming, because when our own leadership agencies and advocacy groups are also not diverse, then it's like a double whammy. And so that's where we're at. But things are shifting and changing very quickly. And that is very promising.
This is the fourth year that you're having this America's Latino Eco Festival, bringing people from around the world to Denver. It's going to be happening October 13th through 15th. What has been the impact of that? I mean, just having this forum for all of these leaders in the environmental movement, but also, you know, school children who come along from schools in Denver. I mean, what has been the impact of having these festivals?
Oh, it's beautiful because, you know, we call it a festival, but it's really a gathering of very, very diverse communities. We have components that engage different interests. So we have, you know, K-12 eco exhibits. We have, you know, leadership summits. We have youth trainings. We have family days that bring in environmental films and arts and culture. You know, the impact has been, I mean, to sum it all up, we have counted over 60 collaborations and partnerships with national impact that have been seeded, incubated at our festival by just leadership coming together and eating and drinking and talking together. So that's one piece where we're really kind of more, you know, pointedly helping advance the movement. Another piece that we have just signed a five-year, multi-year partnership with the U.S. Forest Service to launch a Latino Youth Conservation and Climate Ambassadorship Program. And we're very excited, because there's nothing like that. So one of the impact has been that big agencies have noticed that this non-traditional approach at leveraging power works, and that they're reaching out and connecting and helping us raise the volume.